It is good to worship God. God is so, so good. Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, so we need to be able to worship God anywhere, whether it's video worship, in our cars, wherever that may be, we need to worship Him. So, for those of you that don't know me, I'm David Clausen. I get to give the message here this morning. We will be starting a new series today. It's called We Are the Church. So the month of April and maybe a little bit into May, we're going to be going over our core values as City Light Church. And so I'll be starting us out this morning in the first one, which is called Bridging the Culture. So before we dive in here, would you maybe join me in a prayer for a minute? Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord. And like we sang this morning, you are so good. You're so good to us, Heavenly Father. So I just pray, I just thank you for your favor and your goodness and your grace, Lord. I just pray for open ears this morning, Lord. I know that you want to talk to each person here. I know that for a fact, Lord. And I just pray that you open ears to be able to hear. Remove the veils of people's eyes, Heavenly Father, so that they're able to receive what you have for them, Heavenly Father. So may you be honored and glorified in all things. In your Son Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, yeah, this morning, as we start out, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Church of Acts. Now, Acts is the first initial part where we kind of see the church and the church forming as we kind of see it today, in a sense. I mean, there was a different energy maybe about it, maybe more so, and I think we can be there again. But what we see in Acts was when the initial apostles, they were up in the upper room, and they were basically hiding from the authorities because Jesus had been killed. He came back. And Jesus said, do not leave Jerusalem before I send the power, send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And as soon as that Holy Spirit came upon the 120 on the upper room at first, immediately a revival broke out. The first message that Peter gave, there was over 3,000 people saved. Now, that is a church service, right? Yeah. But the one key ingredient with all these things is the power of the Holy Spirit. So there was a difference between when they did not have that the presence of the Holy Spirit and when they did. So I'm speaking today. So if you're here, you don't think you have the Holy Spirit, you know, you just have to ask, and He is faithful to give. But what I'm saying is, for those of us that know we have the Holy Spirit, we've been saved, we have the Comforter, we have a power in us that is greater than the fear of this world, right? And all those things. In Acts 2, verse 42 to 47, we pick up the story. And they devoted themselves to the apostles and teaching of the teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and prayers. And the awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing them to proceed the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. The Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So in the initial part, we see they had all things in common. You know, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, breaking of bread, communion, participation, partnership. They were together in all things. And, you know, back then, as you can see, they didn't have a church service just once a week. They had a church service every single day. So, you know, we are to live life together, I think is what that is saying to me. And in Acts 4, verse 32, it says, now the full number of those who were believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that nobody said that any of the things that they that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And the Acts Church shows us what's possible when we truly are walking by the power of the Holy Spirit. It shows us what is possible, that our hearts can truly become detached from everything in this life, right? So there was no need for tithing messages back then, right? Maybe I'm the only one who finds that funny, but... But Philippians 2, verse 2, it says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being the full according to the... So let's read that again. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. So we let Jesus unite us, right? And I think that's one of the things that we've seen. The things that they had in common was this, it was a common message, right? A common vision, a common belief, and common values. So that is where we kind of come with our core values. We come to a point where we're showing what our values are as a church. The core values, what are core values? Values which are the foundation on which we conduct ourselves. Core values are the DNA that define who we are and what God has called us to be. And I don't know if you noticed when you come in to our church, there's a glass there that has our vision and mission statement. And our vision is reaching people for Jesus Christ one person at a time. So we believe everybody needs Jesus and every person needs a home to belong to, right? And our mission is making biblical disciples through authentic relationships. So as we become disciples ourselves, we also make disciples, right? We also disciple others. So the core values support and drive our vision and mission statement, essentially, right? And so the one that I'll be covering today is number one here, bridging the culture. We need to be outward focused to reach people for Jesus Christ. We do that by building bridges with people from different backgrounds, different cultures, different age groups. And number two, I'll just go over the other ones just so you kind of have an idea of what they are. Number two is building authentic relationships. Relationships need to be authentic, and relationships need to be for a lifetime. This is done primarily through community, through small groups, and so on. People get involved, people get into each other's lives, right? Number three, empowering ministry potential. So we have all been given a gift, a talent. It says, it's in the Word, it talks about how when we receive Him, we are gifted with powers and talents and abilities, and it is all for the gifts of the church, right? So as we come into the church, we all have different gifts. It talks about how the body has different parts. So we all play different parts. That doesn't mean that one is more important than the other. It just means that we all work together in unison in that, right? Number three is empowering ministry potential. So we have all... So that was the one I just said. I was thinking, man, that sounds just like the other one I just said. number four, driven by compassion. So as we grow in love of God, we are motivated, guided, and feeling of empathy, care, and concern for others. This implies taking action and making decisions based on genuine desire to alleviate suffering and helping others in need. So number five, church of all generations and all cultures. We become and include people of all ages, diverse backgrounds and cultures backgrounds. It emphasizes the sense of belonging for everyone, regardless of their age or culture or heritage. So we are a church of all generations, right? And that's the final one. So I just, you know, we have Growth Track coming up, and that actually dives deeper. So we're going to be covering each week the core value, but the Growth Track actually dives deeper into that whole process. So I would encourage anybody that's kind of looking to see what we're all about, jump into the Growth Track. It's an awesome way to kind of get equipped in God as well. So bridging the culture. So we are called to love. And sometimes, how should I say this? So we have to be comfortable. And I know me and Yolanda are always comfortable with inviting people to church here, because we know they will be met with sincere people, with friendliness. And so I think we do a great job. We can always do better, of course, all the time, right? But we are to welcome those that are coming in. And, you know, one of the things is we don't have a sign at the front door that says, check your baggage here, right? So what does that mean? That means we all come with baggage. And unfortunately, when we come to God, we don't clean ourselves up first and then come to Him. We come to Him as we are, and in the process of walking with Him, some of the things of the world start falling off of us. Some of the chains, some of the things that hold us back start falling off as we walk. Sometimes we don't even notice it, but they just start coming off. The weight starts coming off, right? So we need to, my point to that is, when we invite people, we all need to have a heart that says, hey, maybe this person isn't where I am, but God wants to take them there, right? So we all play a part in walking beside people that maybe don't have all their baggage gone. And we, just to be honest, we're going to be in a continued process of releasing our own baggage that we have still, right? So building bridges to connect our culture. I wanted to share this this poll. It's a Gallup poll. Over 6 million people were asked. One of the things, this poll is a little bit old. I wasn't sure. I was trying to find a new, updated version of it. I couldn't find it. But it proves a point, and even it's maybe a little bit older. I think it still shows you kind of where things are at. So I'm going to share it with you anyways. So people were asked, what would it take to get you to church? The answer that 90% of people gave was for somebody to ask me to attend. 90% of people said they would come to church if somebody asked them. And there's a bit of a breakdown, too, on a different question. It says, how did you come to know the Lord? And here's a kind of a breakdown. So TV or TV crusades was 0.0001% of people came off of television evangelism. 1 to 2% cold turkey evangelism, 2.4% church programs outreach, 4 to 6% walk-in, people walking into the church and being saved, and 6 to 8% the minister, so me just being out in the world or Pastor Doug or whatever, preaching to people, and 74% was friends and relatives. Wow. So that's you. That's not me. That's me too in the world, right? But my point is, and I think we all get into this cycle, right? We look and we say, okay, that person's up there. They're out there. They're saving people. But we somehow have a disconnect with that. That also involves us, right? That also involves us. God tells us to go. God uses us to accomplish His purposes, right? So we are the church, and so we are to invite people. And sometimes that is nothing great. Maybe all we know is say, hey, you know, I found a hope in God. Why don't you come to church with me and see what it's all about? Sometimes maybe that's all we know how to say, but maybe that's enough. Maybe that is enough for that person just to come with us. They trust you. Maybe you have a relationship with them, so they want to see what it's all about, right? In 2 Peter 1:3-4, it says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who calls us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of the sinful desires. Again, that's you. Right? Us, me, that we have been given everything that pertains to life and godliness. So that means by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do more than what we think we can do. And I always think that is, it is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I mentioned maybe it was a couple weeks ago, The Word of God is a mirror. That mirror, you are to look into that mirror just like you look into the natural mirror to see who you are in the spirit. God has given us gifts and talents and abilities. He's given us power to overcome things, but the way we know that is through his promises and his word. And the way we see that is in his word, we look into it and we see a mirror. We see a mirror of him reflecting back to what we are, what we truly are. In 1 John 2, verse 27, it says, "As for you, the anointing, the special gift, the preparation which you received from him remains permanently in you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you, but just as his anointing teaches you, giving you insight through the presence of the Holy Spirit about all things and is true and is not a lie. And just as his anointing has taught you, you must remain in him, being rooted in him, knit to him." That is awesome. That just tells me that we have the gift of, we have a gift inside of us. And we are to discover what that is. And I know sometimes as we come into the faith, and maybe not even when we come into the faith, maybe we've been Christians for a long time, but we have not learned to hear, to listen to the Holy Spirit and to Holy Spirit teaching us. I can guarantee you, if you start listening, the Holy Spirit is going to start whispering to you. And it's not always a loud voice that you hear come up. It's sometimes a small, still voice. So sometimes we have to still ourselves in order for us to be able to hear that voice, in order for us to be able to hear that leading. So that this tells me that as we go through the Word of God, he starts revealing things to me. He starts giving us understanding. And even in situations, he will give you the words to speak to other people. And if you're quiet enough and if you listen closely enough and if you learn to walk by the power of the Holy Spirit, he starts giving you insights about people. He says, hey, this person maybe needs to talk to you or this person needs prayer. Don't be deceived sometimes about how people look. Oh, that person's successful. I don't think they need God. You have no idea what people are going through sometimes on the inside. Sometimes their life is a complete mess, but they're able to put a pretty good face on the outside of it. So you never know, but we know if we listen to the Holy Spirit, right? And that is what this whole census or this, friends and relatives, we have so many people that we know that are open to hearing the Word of God, open to maybe hearing, open to maybe receiving prayer or whatever that may be, but we just have to step forward, right? So the most common bridges are based on three things. So number one, relationship. So relationships. So God has placed us in a certain place for a certain purpose. I believe that. So when you come to Christ, if you are in a place, that's where God has you, and that's where God has a purpose for you. So if it is at work, maybe the way to build relationship with somebody is maybe to have lunch with them, maybe to have coffee with them. Might just be something simple like that. My point is I'm trying to break some bridges because I think sometimes what we think evangelism is or we think of sharing our faith is we're openly in the street corner preaching the Word of God. And, there's some people that, well, yeah, that's exactly what they want to do. But a lot of people, that scares them right there and then. I don't want to be that guy on a corner preaching the Word. No, sometimes it is just being there with people. Sometimes it's building a relationship with people. Sometimes building that relationship, and maybe that person is not interested at the time, but maybe they will go through something and they don't have anything to hold on to, and so what you have is what they will want. But because of that relationship, you are maybe able to share with them what Jesus did for you, right? Maybe you can invite people to a barbecue. I just think, how easy is that, right? You go to the neighbor, hey, we're having a barbecue, why don't you guys come over as well? And, through our living, people should see something different in us, right? Because of the power that we have. And I think we all, and we consistently say it, we all don't walk in the fullness of who God has made us to be, right? So let's continue to connect with him. Maybe take an interest in what's going on in their lives. So maybe it's something, through coffees, through maybe having lunch with somebody, you're talking to them and you know that, hey, they have a concern about their kids or they have this or that. It's a way for you to show concern. It doesn't mean that you instantly hit them with, you know, do you know Jesus? Maybe that comes just through a relationship, right? And you have to listen to the Holy Spirit to kind of talk to you as you do that. So this just means that we meet people where they're at, right? So sometimes, you know, we don't want to wait for people just to come into the church. We just want to meet people where they're at. And this isn't, and let me just say this, this isn't us being manipulative and wanting to build a relationship just purely out of that. But we want we should be genuine in our concern for people. We should be genuine in our relationship that we want to build with people. Because why? Because we have a hope. We have a hope that we know the world needs. So it's not something that we're doing just out of our own selfish reasons. We have something in us that the world needs to see, right? The other one is needs. Maybe this is giving people a hand, giving somebody a hand. Maybe it's your neighbor that needs help with something. You're just there to offer a helping hand. Maybe you know that somebody's having a hard time and you just make a meal for them. Maybe you know that a couple doors down, you have an elderly lady living there that can't take care of her lawn and you mow her grass. I know Pastor Doug and Karen are always awesome at this. They're always helping their neighbors. They're always seeing how they can lend a helping hand to someone. But trust me, I know how it is. You get home, you get out of your car, you get into your house, and so sometimes you don't even know your neighbors, you don't see them, you don't, you know, none of these things happen, right? So we need to take the time and actually get to know people around us, right? Get to know people and just be willing to have that attitude of being willing to help. So people have their needs, right? Interests. So what are your interests? Maybe you invite somebody to a game. Maybe you're watching the game on TV. You can invite a couple neighbors. Invite a couple people from work. It doesn't always have to be to do with Bible or Bible teaching, but maybe sometimes you just have people come alongside you and you're building a relationship with them, right? Maybe it's golfing. Maybe it's running. I know there's many things that we do every single day that we could have somebody come alongside us, right? Maybe it's not just your friend that you know from church. Maybe it's a few other guys, right? So in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 to 17, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Then a man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Again, just pointing back to the scripture, back to the word of God. As we are in the word, he continues to equip us to be able to have that heart for others, right? To be able to have that heart and look past ourselves. It says in James 2, verse 26, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. What does that mean? That means that the faith that we have in us should show itself. There should be action behind it. It's not that Jesus says, hey, if you don't do this and this and this, you won't be saved. No, that's not what we're talking about here. But we're talking about that what is in us should pour out of us. And it should pour into, yeah, like you say, fruit, right? Into actions, into tangible things that you see each and every day. I sometimes wonder, you know, I wonder if we truly know what we have. Because in Acts, 3,000 were saved. They knew what they didn't have. And those times, you had to keep a lot of rules. You had to sacrifice animals. You had to do all these things. And people would come. And people would do all those things to try to be forgiven, to walk with God, right? And here it was, they couldn't believe it, that they could know God and they could walk with him and they couldn't be in his presence just by accepting him. So we need to be ready for, and I know, you know, we need to change our styles. So sometimes it is different things that we need to know You know, if you're talking to a young kid who games, maybe you're talking to him differently, right? We have to maybe create some skills in conversation and so on so we know how to communicate with people, right? We don't want people just to know about God. We want them to experience him. And I had this, Andrew Womack shared this. He was sharing how building disciples versus just creating a convert, essentially. So we're not trying to convert people. We're trying to build disciples. And what that means to me is when you build a disciple, that person is actually living in God, and he's actually experiencing God and is able to see him working in their lives on a daily basis. A convert maybe knows about God, knows maybe he's saved, but has nothing to prove that he's not experiencing him, I guess is what I'm saying. So he says, if one Christian led 1,000 people to salvation each year, at the end of the 16 and a half years, there would only be 16,500 Christians. However, if that same person only led one person to the Lord every 6 months and then took the rest of that time to make that person a disciple who could reproduce his or her faith by discipling others, then at the end of the 16 and a half years, there would be nearly 7 billion believers throughout the walking as a disciple throughout the world. What a difference, right? So what is my point? We're not trying to just bring people to understanding, but we sometimes have to walk beside people. So sometimes when people come to Christ, you know, they come to salvation, it is also for you to, well, then walk maybe with them, walk beside them. And maybe you don't know everything, but maybe what you do know, you talk to them. Maybe you come invite them to a small group. There's a next step to the process, right? There's a step of actually starting to experience God and experience him and who he is. And I know for a fact, and I've been there myself, you come to salvation and you think, fantastic, the work is done. Going to heaven, which is great, fantastic, missing hell, doing all those things, you know, it's great. But there's a process of actually experiencing God. You haven't seen nothing yet until you start walking with God and in the power of his presence. We sang that on the last song. We are anointed, right? We are forgiven. We are empowered. So there's a power that was in the early church because they took it with faith, right? And so that power is available for each one of us to walk out our lives. So how do we remove fences that keep people out? So bridges connect people and fences disconnect us from them. I know, I'm not talking about your fences at home. You know, we all need to have fences, right? But I'm talking about how do we not build a fence towards somebody else. And I think some of these things, you know, become pretty clear. You know, what are your cliques? I don't know if you know what that means. Cliques, that just means that a group of people, you know, you come to church, same guys, boom, you get together, you're always chatting, but you're in your clique. Yeah, comfort zone, many things, right? We come together, and so for a new person, it's hard to come in. And I think the thing is, we need to always make sure that we're looking out, and we're always inviting other people. We're always accommodating, we're always inviting others into our groups and into our friend groups or whatever that may be in your life. Maybe it's our language. And you know, I have to be careful of this too, because after you're in a church for a long time, you learn to have Christianese, they call it. You're speaking some sort of language, but nobody understands what you're saying. You know, people from the outside are like, what is he saying? Like, he's saying all these words, but what do they mean? Sometimes we have to talk in everyday language. We learn to say certain things because we know what it means in the Bible and all these things, but we need to make sure that our language is normal. It's everybody's able to understand whatever level we're walking in God with, right? Maybe it's your traditions. Maybe I always think traditions need to be evaluated based on the Word of God. Now, sometimes we've been brought up a certain way with certain traditions, but have absolutely nothing to do with God. And sometimes they're made to be seem like they have something to do with God. That if you break these traditions, then, you know, that's going to be trouble. So I'm not talking about traditions of the Bible. I'm talking about traditions that we, man-made traditions, right? So sometimes those are creating barriers between people, right? Maybe we don't talk to certain age groups because that's just our culture, right? No, we're talking about breaking all that, right? Every group, every person is welcome, right? And so we need to break those traditions, whatever that may be in your life. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22 to 23, it says, "To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." The message never changes, but the method does, right? So I'm not talking about, you know, going into bars and all sorts of stuff, and you know, I became all things to all people. That's not what Paul's talking about here. He emphasized with people, you know, that maybe we're walking through a hard time. He looked at it and said, hey, we're not on some sort of high horse, oh, I'm beyond that. No, we identify with them because we used to be there, right? I became all things to all people, you know? We need to come back to the place where, you know, how do we identify with somebody? How do we walk in somebody else's shoes and what they're going through, right? We can emphasize with, have empathy for them at that time. Like Leon Fontaine talks about, be spirit contemporary. You know, we need to be contemporary on how we share the gospel and how we interact with people, right? And so this means that, you know, maybe when you're praying with somebody, you don't have to lay your hands on them. Maybe you're just standing there and you're just having a conversation and you're able to pray with them. And it's a normal occurrence. You're not embarrassing people. You're sharing faith and doing things in a contemporary way, right? So you don't have to yell out that thus says the Lord or anything like that, right? You're just sharing God, right? Spirit contemporary. Number three, engage with love and urgency. If you know there is an urgency about things, we see the world and where it's going. And Jesus says, I will come back. And it will be a surprise for people when I come back. And I'd love to go through the end time sometime here yet and talk a little bit about that. You know, where people are at on what that means, the rapture and all these things. But my point today is we have to share the gospel because of their purpose. And I'm going to share just a scripture here. And this talks about when the judgment comes. It talks about when we will all stand before God and will be judged. And he says he will separate the sheep from the goats. And so the sheep are his flock, are his. It says in Matthew 25, 34 to 40, it says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you... see you stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' Then the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.'" Wow. What a sobering things for those that, because he, right after this, he actually goes back and he counters that to the people that didn't do those things. What is the point? His sheep hear his voice. His sheep do what he tells them to do. And what he's asking us to do is to share the gospel, to share all those things. That's all born out of love for others, right? We visited people, you know, the sick, the naked, all those things. We are to have empathy. We are to have a heart. And I know one of my greatest enemies is busyness. We need to have enough time in our time to be able to take the time to do it. Because I can tell you, all those situations don't come around when you have some spare time. You know, they're always inconvenient, right? It's inconvenient when you see somebody on the side of the road and maybe needs help changing a tire. It's inconvenient to pull over and do that. Why? Oh, shoot, you know, I got to be somewhere. So we need to have extra time just to be able to do that. And that you just work that into you figure that out how you do that. But we just have to sometimes be late maybe for things if we see certain opportunities for us to help somebody on the side of the road or whatever that case might be. I'm always surprised how interconnected things are, how God works by the power of the Holy Spirit, right? It's amazing. This is Mark 13, verse 11 says, "Do not worry beforehand about what you will say. Just say whatever is given to you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit." So as we walk in the Holy Spirit, he gives us the words to speak. If we're attentive to him, if we listen to the shepherd, we are able to say what God is telling us at the time. So where has God placed you? What community, what town, what city, what neighborhood, what workplace has he placed you in? Because that is your mission field. That is your mission field. So I'll share one last scripture with you here. It's in Isaiah 6, verse 8. And when I hear this scripture, I hear God saying it to me. He says, "I heard a voice, I heard the voice of the Lord. Whom shall I send? And who will go for me?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." We need to have a heart to say those words to God. "Here I am, send me." Will those things always be easy? No. What I can tell you, you know, just to share kindness with somebody, that's not that difficult, right? To take the time to meet with somebody for coffee, it's not that difficult. I think, you know, socially, we've come into a place where we can't carry a conversation with people. I think we really need to get off of the, you know, maybe it is by texting. Hey, maybe I'm, you know, there's different ways to connect with people and to show your kindness. And I don't want to exclude texting, social media, any of those things. All those can be used as an avenue, right? So use them, utilize them for the kingdom and for his purpose. So you join me in a prayer this morning as we close off. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord God, for just being with us here this morning. Thank you for your goodness and your grace, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you want to more than we want you to work through us, Heavenly Father. So I just pray, work through each one of us, Heavenly Father. I pray as we are still, let us hear your voice leading and guiding us in all things, Father. And I pray, Father, that we truly are able to find the joy of walking in your presence and in your power to do the work that you've called us to do, Heavenly Father. May you be glorified in all things, Lord God. In Jesus' name, I pray, just keep your eyes closed and heads down just for a minute. I just want to speak to somebody out there that's maybe this morning that maybe hasn't given their life to Jesus yet and maybe wants to do that this morning. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. I'll lead you in a prayer here. If you repeat that prayer, he says that he will come into your heart. He will live, put his residence in you. So I just ask you to repeat this prayer with me. God, I am sorry for my sin. I turn from it right now. I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for my sin. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and my life right now. Be my Lord and Savior and friend. Help me to follow you all the days of my life as your disciple. Thank you for forgiving me and receiving me right now. Thank you that my sin is forgiven and that I am going to heaven. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Just keep your heads down. I just ask if somebody said that prayer this morning, would you mind putting your head up for a minute just to acknowledge that? Thank you, Lord. For those that maybe didn't put up their hand or so on, can you please go to the Connections desk after this, after the service? We have a gift for you and talk about your next steps in the faith. So just thank you all this morning. Thank you for...